From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues with his sixth message in an intensive study of the Book of Romans. We are living in an age when there's much confusion and misunderstanding about the gospel. Considering the eternal implications for immortal souls, it's imperative that men and women have an accurate understanding of the gospel. We must be perfectly clear about the fact that all that God has to say to mankind, He says in and through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As Dr. Cairns is emphasizing, the gospel concerns the incarnation and the humiliation of Christ. In order to be the Savior of sinners, the eternal Son of God had to become a man so that He could die as the sinless substitute for lost souls. Then the gospel is concerned with the resurrection of Christ, for it is that glorious reality that validates what Jesus did on the cross. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of a message called The Person and Work of Christ, the Very Substance of the Gospel of Saving Grace. Before he comes, we invite your attention to a brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called One a Majority. The text is Joshua 23 and verse 10. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, He it is that fighteth for you, as He hath promised you. Why count heads? One man with God is a majority, though there be 1,000 on the other side. Sometimes our helpers may be too many for God to work with them, as was the case with Gideon, who could do nothing till he had increased his forces by thinning out their numbers. But the Lord's hosts are never too few. When God would found a nation, He called Abram alone and blessed him. When He would vanquish proud Pharaoh, He used no armies, but only Moses and Aaron. The one-man ministry, as certain wise men call it, has been far more used of the Lord than trained bands with their officers. Did all the Israelites together slay so many as Samson alone? Saul and his hosts slew their thousands, but David his 10,000s. The Lord can give the enemy long odds and yet vanquish him. If we have faith, we have God with us. And what are multitudes of men? One shepherd's dog can drive before him a great flock of sheep. If the Lord sent thee, O my brother, His strength will accomplish His divine purpose. Wherefore, rely on the promise and be very courageous.
voice, and I entered.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures, and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today. Thank you.
Christ came of the line of his Jewish ancestry, but he is over all. He is God, blessed forever. What a step that was. We will, of course, if time permits, to turn to this text for other purposes. But remember how Paul described it in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Down, down, down. When I deal with this subject, I always say, I wish I could sing. This is where I would break into song. Down from his glory. Have you ever heard, I think Gene has sung that for us. Have you ever heard that great song, that beautiful description of Christ coming down, down, down to the depths of our woe to save us from our sin? That was, and this is something people don't really seem to grasp. Every time we say something like this, there'll be somebody lift his eyebrows and come and ask a question, do you really mean what you say there? Yes, we do. That was an irreversible step of divine grace and condescension. The eternal Son of God laid aside the robes of his invisibility, and he took into union with himself a true humanity, and for all eternity the Son of God will be in personal union with that human nature. That's condescension of such an order that I cannot begin to comprehend it. But the whole gospel stands in that mystery. I want you to be absolutely clear, we're talking about the deity, the absolute eternal deity of the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God. And the Son of God takes into union with himself a true humanity. He actually entered into union. I can't begin to even to think of it. At the very instant of the conception of the embryo in the womb of the Virgin Mary, by the supernatural activity of the Holy Ghost, the Son of God entered into union. A union that he would never reverse and he would never break. So that we have a Christ who is truly God and who is truly man. Without ceasing to be God, he is truly man. Without converting divine substance to human, without confusing human with divine, in two distinct natures and one undivided, perfect person forever, Jesus Christ, God and man, manifested for our salvation. It's the mystery of the incarnation. And it's on that mystery that the entire gospel of the grace of God takes its stand. But why does the gospel demand such an act? Why does the gospel demand that the Son become a man, and especially a man in the line of David? He was made of the seed of David. according to the flesh. Well, I think that obviously there's a very simple, immediate reason. That was to provide an objective test for all who would claim to be the promised seed. The seed of David is not only humanity, it's messiahship. Go back to Luke's gospel. You find Luke gives you the genealogy of Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, and he traces it through David all the way to Adam. You turn to Matthew's gospel and he gives you Joseph's line back through David all the way to Abraham. Why does he give you Joseph's line? Because Joseph, while not the physical, biological father of Jesus, was nonetheless the legal. And so on both sides, we have the tracing of the line of Christ through David, back to Adam, back to Abraham. Now the Lord Jesus therefore fulfills all the criteria that the Bible sets for the Messiah. We're not going to take time again to show how the Bible said that he would come, he would be a true man of the seed of the woman. I believe that is actually more than simply saying he'd be a man, though it says that. I think it's a reference to the virgin birth. A man born of a virgin. But he would be a true man. He would be of the line of Abraham. He would be of the line of Jacob. He would be of the line of Judah. Then he would be of the line of David. And God kept on narrowing this down so that the Messiah would be proven. Do you ever ask yourself, why does the Old Testament give you so many genealogies? Why does God afflict us with these long lists of names that are not of interest to anybody? Let me tell you, my friend, the Jews to this day are saying, we're looking for the first time for the Messiah to come. We're looking for the Messiah. And their own scriptures condemn that. Because unless the Old Testament was written in vain, Messiah must have already come. Because the genealogies have long since been destroyed. There's not a Jew who can trace his genealogy. And there is no himself to be of the line of David. One very good reason why he had to come of the line of David. But there's a deeper reason. It was only as a man that the Son of God could become Jehovah our Savior, the meaning of the name Jesus. It was only as a man that the Son of God could become Christ, the Anointed One. It was only as a man that the Son of God could become our Lord in the sense of being our Savior. Why? Because it was only as a man that he could obey. Do you ever think of that? Unincarnate deity could not take our place and obey the law of God for us. Unincarnate deity could not, in the words of Christ, fulfill all righteousness. Unincarnate deity could not suffer and bleed and die and offer a propitiatory sacrifice to put away the guilt and the filth of our sin. It was only God as manifested in the flesh that could do those things. So the gospel concerns the Lord Jesus Christ, concerns his incarnation and his humiliation. But finally, it concerns his exaltation, the exaltation of the Son of God. Notice what it says, he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Notice first the resurrection. The resurrection is not an optional extra of the gospel. It's the very substance of the gospel, and without it, there is no gospel. I've said that the incarnation is the mystery on which the whole gospel stands. The resurrection is the linchpin that holds all the gospel together. Without the resurrection, you have no gospel. You have no sacrifice. You have no Savior. And you have no hope. Without the gospel or without the resurrection, Christ is not who he said he was. Without the resurrection, Christ did not do at the cross what he said he did. And as Paul argues in 1 Corinthians 15 from verses 14 through 19, without the resurrection, we have no salvation. Our faith is in vain. The gospel is a lie. Now these are awful conclusions that Paul is coming to. The gospel is a lie. We are liars, for we have witnessed that it's true. Christ died in vain. If there's no resurrection, then our faith is in vain. It's empty. You live and you die in the darkness without a ray of hope. There is nothing to be glad about. There is nothing to cheer the tomb. There is nothing to evacuate hell of its horrors for us if Jesus Christ be not risen from the dead. All these idiotic, well, I will not be so nice. For they're not merely idiots. All these lying apostates, these devil's brood that have got into the pulpits of erstwhile Christian churches, that every Easter trot out the filth of their unbelief and tell us that Jesus died, and they go into all the extraordinary little theories that they have about his showing us what it is to love, what it is to suffer, what it is to do this. He's an example in all these ways. But they can never get beyond the absolute lunacy of a German liberal by the name of Schleiermacher, who said that it was a half-dead man who crawled out of the tomb. I have more respect for the devil than for Schleiermacher and his evil brood. More respect for the devil himself. Let me tell you, my friend, it was no half-dead man who crawled out of the tomb. If that were the case, he died as a fool. And we believe in him as fools. And we will be damned as fools. Bless God. It was a dead man who was placed in the tomb. And on the third day, he didn't crawl out. He didn't creep out. He didn't sneak out. They didn't open the entrance, roll away the stone to let him out. They rolled away the stone to let men see him, that up from the grave he arose. He arose. And our faith is not in vain. And our Savior is Christ the Lord. And our salvation is secure. Bless God tonight. The resurrection is the mighty Gibraltar rock of certainty upon which we can take our stand.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.